Thank you. As we close the day off today, we'd like to read one more verse from the Word of God. It's in John's Gospel, chapter 3, and it's the last verse in the chapter, verse 36. We're very happy for all who came tonight. We trust that as we've been listening to this tremendous salvation that God offers to sinners, and to think of how that, as I was listening to my brother speak and my own experience, how the Spirit of God so lovingly, so kindly seeks the sinner, never lets go. And that's what God is doing tonight. God is seeking. He wants to save anyone here tonight that is not saved. He's ready, He's willing, and the best of all, He's able to save. So let's read John chapter 3 and verse number 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I understand that even as we are here tonight, that NASA has spent billions of dollars investing in satellites. And the satellites are sending a beam out into space. And the whole purpose and desire is that they might receive a message back from outer space. And as they search in vain, they're not going to receive anything, but they're searching for something. And if they were able to receive something, let's say, they would have this great problem and difficulty. We got this message, but we don't know how to decode it. We don't know what it means. And so they would send the best of minds if they had them and say, decode it, find out what it means. But listen, when it comes to this message of God's salvation, it doesn't just come from a sphere out there that a beam can reach. It comes all the way from God's heavenly throne, right down into a building like this, and God sends a message. And you don't have to decode it. You don't have to bring in the biggest minds in the world to figure it out. The youngest here in this room tonight can understand these words. If you can speak, if you can understand when your mom says, go take out the trash, clean up your room, then you can understand this. You know what it says? It's divided in two parts. We've been hearing about that already tonight. We heard about a narrow road and a broad road. We heard about a narrow door and a broad door. We heard about the two destinies. And we heard about the two classes of people. Well, that's what we have in this verse as well. Just two. That's how the gospel is. It's not a confusing message. It's something that we all can take it in. You know, sometimes when I was working with the gangs and in Los Angeles, the boys would get in trouble, and I'd take them to go with them when they went to court. And oftentimes, as they stood before the judge, they would come up with this kind of flimsy excuse. Well, I didn't know that was wrong. Well, I didn't fit so well with the judge, and he would sentence them anyway. But I want to tell you something, everyone here, when you stand before the real judge, the one who could be your Savior tonight will be your judge if you'd reject him. You will not be able to use an excuse that I didn't understand it. God has made it simple. It's the greatest message under heaven. He could have made it so complicated. We were talking about, as we were given directions, how to come to where we're staying here in Edmonton, and they said, just put into the GPS the corn maze, Edmonton corn maze. Well, I don't know what it's like, but we were talking about it on the way here that, well, you probably get in there, and if it's renowned, it's probably very difficult to figure out how to get out the other side. That's not the way it is with God's salvation. He didn't make it in a maze. He didn't make it where you have to be a college educated. He said that the simplest can understand it. And listen to what it says. Six words. He that believeth on the Son. He that believeth on the Son. But look at it the other side. Six more words. He that believeth not the Son. Everything's the same, except for one word. He that believeth on the Son versus he that believeth not the Son. I want to ask you tonight, just quietly, after listening to the message you just listened to, ask yourself, where am I in this verse? Am I on the side of those who have believed on the Son? Do I look back into a certain day in my life when I trusted Christ as my Savior, when the burden of my sins were lifted, when the joy of God's salvation filled my soul? Do you have a time, do you have a moment when you understood that you are a lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner, and you were on that broad road we've just listened to, and you were going to the place of destruction, the place called hell, the place of everlasting burnings? Have you ever understood what it is to be guilty before God? Have you ever felt the burden of your sin? And have you ever understood the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ died for me? If you understand that, those of us who are saved, we can say, we're the ones who have believed on the Son. But friend, if you are not saved, and you're still on the other side of this verse, you'll have to be honest with yourself. Be honest now, because after death, it's too late. Be honest now. He that believeth not the Son. You still are just like you were from the day you were born. You were born a sinner. You lived in sin. You are a sinner before God, and you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and your personal Savior. And notice how he says it, he that believeth on the Son. You could put she, if you're a girl, a woman, you could say she that believeth on the Son. It's personal. God doesn't save in the masses. God doesn't save in groups. Each one of us have to come to understand this great truth. I am a sinner. I am guilty before God. And when that comes in onto your soul, you feel the pain of it. You feel the guilt of it. You feel responsible for what you are as a person, and you want to be saved, and you'll cry out for God's salvation. You'll search for it with all your heart and with all your soul. He that believeth on the Son, what do they have? Everlasting life. You know, I want to tell you how I got saved. I wasn't like our brother Seed there. I was born and raised in a gospel hall. In fact, to show you how big of a sinner I was born on a Sunday, and my mom wasn't able to go to meeting. But she went the next Sunday, and I was with her. But the point is this, is that I was raised under the sound of the gospel, like many here possibly. I listened. And I remember there were times when I used to think, I want to be saved tonight. I don't want to die and go to that awful place called hell. You know the realities of me, not my friend, not my brother, not someone else, not you. The realities of thinking, I'm the one that could be lost. I'm the one that could be enclosed, enveloped in that awful place of torments forever and ever. It used to cause me to shake, stirred my heart. And I would listen to the gospel preacher as they would preach. But you know what I would do? I guess it was the devil, or it was just my own stubborn heart, I don't know which. I would say, the next time. The next time. And I always put it off. But when I was, after so many years of listening to the gospel, I was 17. And it was a conference in Phoenix, Arizona, where I was born and raised. It was a large conference at that time. And a brother from the assembly, an elder, he got up and he made an announcement. And the announcement read something like this. The parents of a 17-year-old young man are concerned that their son has not showed any interest in getting saved would you please pray that God would save him? I sat there and listened to that announcement, and I want to be honest with you, I was angry. I thought to myself, would my parents dare to make my situation public to everybody there? And I remember my friends, I could hear them in the back, and they were saved, and they would say, I hope God speaks to him. I hope God will use this to stir him. And I remember the people would stand up and they would pray for this 17-year-old boy that is not saved and has shown no interest in his salvation. God's awaken him, save him, reach him. And for 4 nights, we had 4-day conferences in those days. 4 nights I listened to the gospel. And then it was on a Monday night after the conference. Mr. Sidney Sayward, known to some here, a missionary to Venezuela, turns out to be my wife's grandfather. He was having a telling about people in Venezuela and giving a missionary report. And he would show a slide. He would point to somebody, he would say, that person there was saved, and tell a little bit about it. And then that person there, well, got saved, and tell a little about it. And whenever he said that, he would turn around, he looked at me. And he would say, if there's anyone here that would like to be saved, God can save them too. You know, I sat there, and I want to be honest with you. I really didn't feel overly touched. I appreciate it. But I went home that night, and the Spirit of God began to work in my heart like never before. I thought I was going to go to bed and go to sleep. I laid there. I cried out to God. God, I'm lost. I don't know what to do. You see, friend, I was raised under the sound of the gospel. I knew gospel verses. I could tell you how to be saved. But I wasn't saved myself. And I thought to myself, you see, salvation, here I am, and here's God's salvation. I'm so close. It's just going to be just a simple matter of believing, and I'll be saved. And that night I thought, this is the night, God. I want to believe, and I want to be saved. But as the hours rolled on in that night, you know what I discovered? Just like Mr. Seed, who was not raised in the gospel, who was confused, who was seeking for the truth, I realized I'm not here. I'm not right alongside of salvation, where all I have to do is just take one little jump and I'll be saved. I realized I am so lost. I just felt like salvation is getting further and further and further and further away from me. Here's God's salvation, and there I am. Guilty, lost. And the Spirit of God was burning into my soul the idea that I'm lost, I'm a sinner, I'm going down to hell. I don't care how much of the gospel I know, and I don't care how much of it I heard. Tonight, I'm lost. And if I die tonight, I will be in that awful place called hell. I went into my parents' bedroom, I tried to talk to them, and they couldn't help me. I sat alongside my bed and I read texts, I read verses, I read tracts. That didn't help me. And the next morning I heard my mom getting my siblings up and telling them to go to school, and they went. And then she came, knocked softly on my door. My mom was a wonderful person. She knocked softly on my door. She said, I just talked to Mr. Sidney Sayward, and he said he's willing to talk to you if you'd like. I almost said no. But I was searching. I was so far away from God's salvation. I didn't understand it, but I wanted it. So I told my mom, yes, I'll go. I remember when we were going, I was just, like I say, 17, and you know, when you're 17, 16, you want to drive, don't you? Most people do. I did. And I gave mom the keys back, and I said, Mom, you drive in case something happens. She took me over. We sat down together, and he read several scriptures to me. And then he came to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. And he read these words. He bore my sins in his own body on the tree. You read them again. He bore my sins in his own body on the tree. He went over to Isaiah chapter 53. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement, the punishment of my peace was upon him. And as he was reading those verses, my mind was focused on this. He bore my sins in his own body on the tree. And as I thought on that verse, I thought, that was for me. It was my sins. That's the thing that's keeping me out of heaven. That's the very issue that's sending me down to the place called hell. I don't have to die in my sins. I don't have to go to the place called hell. I can be saved. And that morning, about 9:30 in the morning, it was a Tuesday morning, this young 17-year-old boy accepted the Lord Jesus as his own personal Savior. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. I'll never regret it. And for all eternity, I'll give God thanks that the Spirit of God was patient with me, that the Spirit of God was willing to deal with me. He didn't leave me alone. What an awful thing it would be to be troubled about your sins. What an awful thing it would be to know you're lost and the Spirit of God wouldn't work with you, and to think that you're going to the awful place and you don't feel the desire and yet you know you're lost. But when the Spirit of God works, my friend, don't tell God no. Don't push him off. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. My spirit, he says, will not always strive. If you are wanting to be saved, tonight might be your night. You have no promise for tomorrow. Come to understand that he loves you, because he says that if you will believe on the Son. Why the Son? Because, my friend, there's no other person that could do what he did. He was able to, in all this person that he is, he was able, as it were, to reach the very highest throne of God and satisfy all that God demanded against my sins. And I was so guilty, and God was so holy and so just, and he was able to reach and touch the holy throne of God, and at the same time, he was able to stretch, as it were, his other hand out and reach a poor, guilty sinner like me and bring us together. He, the just one, suffered for me, suffered for you, suffered for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. What a beautiful relationship. What a beautiful union that is, when a sinner is able to meet God. Meet God on his standards. Why? Because it's through the Lord Jesus Christ that we are accepted in the Lord before God. He's the one that cleanses. He's the one that takes away all our sins. And that's why he says, he that believeth on the Son has right now a present possession. The moment you trust him, has everlasting life. But that's not where the verse ends. The verse goes on to say, but he that believeth not. The only word that's different in those six first words, he that believeth on, fully resting, fully trusting in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And he that says to God, not. You know, very seldom in the English language do we use double negatives. Actually, we shouldn't. But when the Bible uses them, it's for a purpose. It's to put emphasis on it. He that believeth not the Son shall not. You say no to God, God says to you, you shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on you. You know, the Lord in John chapter 12 was talking to the people. He absented himself from them. He left them alone. And it says there, but even with so many signs, so many miracles, all of those signs and miracles were pointing to the fact that he indeed is the Son. And with all of that, still they believed not. I'll close in just one little story. When we were working in the city of Linwood and among the gangs, One night, the sirens were going along down the road, and every time I heard those sirens, I just prayed to God. I said, "Oh God, let it not be one of my boys." Because I looked at those gang members as my boys. When I was taking the people home, as I did every night, one of the ladies came running out of the house, and she screamed, and she said, "Tom, they shot Hoppy. They shot Hoppy." Let me tell you, that night before the gospel meeting, I went to Hoppy and I said, "Hoppy, please come to the meeting tonight." And he said, "Tom, I got business to do tonight, but I will come next time." When I went over to find where Hoppy was, and he had the thing all cordoned off, I went to the policeman. I said, "Sir, may I speak to him?" And he asked me who I was, and I told him. He said, "Go ahead." In that back alley, I laid down on the ground as close as I could to the ear of Hoppy. And I said, "Oh, Hoppy, oh, Hoppy, you told me you were going to come. And he told me before, I'm going to get saved someday. Oh, Hoppy, where are you?" By that time, the ambulance came. I took him away. I went to the hospital. They allowed me to go to the emergency room. And there he was, laying on the bed there. And had all the things hooked up. And I could see the meter going like this. And I said, "Okay, he's still alive." And I used to think, or heard anyway, that the last thing that happens before you die is you have your hearing. So all that time, I said, "Oh, Hoppy, are you ready to die? Are you ready to meet God?" And I preached the gospel to him that night in that hospital room. I don't know if Hoppy ever got saved. He told me he wanted to be saved. He even went further than that. He told me he would be saved someday. Hoppy didn't know that that was going to be his last opportunity. How about tonight for you? Could it be that we're speaking to someone? And you don't know it, I don't know it. And this could be your last opportunity. Will you listen one more time to the words? "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." What would it be like to be lost forever under the wrath of a holy, righteous judge against your sins? Trust it will never be so, but that you'll trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Let us pray. Our Father, we